We've all had that bad day. And remember this, don't ever judge somebody on their worst day. Don't ever judge somebody and throw them away because of one mistake. God doesn't do that. But David, most of the time, is just a great example. And this is maybe a moment that some folks would have maybe overlooked, but I really see some greatness here, and I want to see if I can share this with you. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And today we're going to talk about this moment in David's life. Listen to what I'm going to say. David's reaction to God's refusal to allow him to build the temple. David's reaction to God's refusal to allow him to build the temple. 2 Samuel chapter 7, look at verse 1. Came to pass when the king sat in his house and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in an house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains." And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee." Notice verse 4, "And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. And all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever, and I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I shall chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men, but my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, thy throne shall be established forever, according to all these words and according to all this vision. So did Nathan speak unto David. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible. And Lord, we're going to look at some principles that I hope will help us. And Lord, may we learn from David's reaction. Sometimes God's just going to say no, something we want to do. Lord, may we learn how to properly and biblically respond. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me start the lesson by pointing out from verse 1 and 2 that show you David's heart desire. David had a heart's desire. It was a desire that came from his heart. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when the king sat in the house that the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains." And David, that bothered David. He said, "Look at this nice house that I live in. And we still have that old tabernacle, and that's where we have as a meeting place for the Lord. So I want to build something for God." And it was a sincere desire. You know what? David had a sincere desire. David was grieved that his house, I think, was grander than the curtained tabernacle that housed the Ark of God. David's desire, I want to say this, was noble, it was selfless, and it was sincere. So folks, it's not like he's wanting to do something sinful. He's wanting to do something for the Lord. David, number two, when he had this heart's desire, he sought counsel. And by the way, he sought counsel from Nathan, the prophet of the Lord. And so, boy, let me just point that out. You think, "I really feel like God wants me to do this." Well, folks, listen to me. It may be God's will, and it may be God's God, maybe God's plan for your life. But you know what? It is always wise to seek counsel. It is always. Now listen, a lot of times what we want to do is we want to go to people, maybe that love us very much, but just the only thing they know how to do is just tell us yes, because everything they want to do, we just decide is the will of God. If you're not careful, folks, you can get blinded and biased because you're related to people. But you know what? That doesn't change the will of God. And so he did at least seek counsel, but he went to a man of God to seek counsel. And folks, listen to me. I don't need more to do. I don't say this out loud because, boy, I'm just sitting around the office board. But I will tell you that I've never made a major decision in my life without talking to God-called men about it. Before I was a pastor, I wouldn't make a major decision in my life without going to talk to my pastor about it. And since I'm a pastor, I still wouldn't make a major decision in my life without getting counsel from men of God, called men of God. Okay, and if your pastor has hesitations about something, you better just slow it down. Okay, I've watched people just get excited. There's a difference sometimes between a burden and a call, folks. I just want to share that with you. Okay, we're about to have Missions Emphasis Month. We're going to have missionaries come, and they're going to show you places on the planet that there is a great need. I've been to the mission field, good night, probably 8, 9, 10 times in my life. And you know what? I always come back burdened over that because of the great need. But there's a difference between being burdened about something and being called to do something. And so I want to just say that. Make sure the calling of God, and one of these days I probably ought to teach that lesson, but the calling of God, if you go back to Samuel, you know, when God was calling Samuel, you know, he called Samuel once, he called him twice, called him three times, called him four times. Every time he did it, it intensified. And the calling of God is without repentance. That doesn't just mean that it is without repentance as far as we shouldn't walk away from it. It's talking about the calling of God is insistent. It's without repentance. In other words, God isn't going to call you a few times and change his mind. If it's God's will, he's going to keep after you. Sometimes what we do is we get touched because there's a need. We get touched because of something that needs to be done. And we decide, well, no one else is doing it. Then maybe I need to do something about that. And you know what? Like I said, maybe that's God's plan. But you know how you're going to figure that out in the long run? You're going to figure it out through prayer, and you're going to figure it out through godly counsel. Now, folks, a lot of times what we want to say is, well, you know, we want to spiritualize this. Well, I'm just going to go to God. Well, then David didn't have that. He was a man after God's own heart. He still went and seen Nathan the prophet. And a lot of times we don't want to go see the preacher because we don't want the answer he's going to give us. Because God will allow your pastor to see things clearly. Look right up here, man. Every man in my church needs to hear what I'm saying. He's going to allow your preacher to see some things more clear than anybody else sitting in this room. Okay, I don't care how close you walk with God. God is not going to reveal some things to you in the same way he'll reveal it to your pastor. Now, you can ignore that, and you can go on, and you can carry your banner, and you can try to convince everybody that the preacher's wrong and you're right. But you know what? David at least had good sense here where he went and talked to Nathan, the prophet of the Lord. And so be careful. All right. David so far, by the way, has done the right things. His desire's right and good. He's now sought the counsel of Nathan. I want to point out next of all, look at verse 3, Nathan's quick response. 2 Samuel 7:3. Nathan said to the king, "Go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee." You know, I think Nathan, honestly, we see that Nathan hears the king. He loves David. He doesn't see anything wrong with his desire. And so it's not like there's a scriptural red flag or there's anything. But the one thing we don't see in this encounter is Nathan going before the Lord. And again, if we're not careful, folks, you know, somebody comes to us and they're passionate and they're weeping and they're crying. And I think God wants me to, and I just don't understand, and I just can't get it out of my heart. And okay, all right. Okay, then let's put it to prayer. Okay, hey, listen, I'm not a quick responder. Okay, if you come to me, I'm going to say, all right, well, okay, let's think about it. Let's pray about it. Let's pray over it. Okay, I'm not going to rubber stamp because you cry. I'm not going to rubber stamp because you're emotional. Because you know what? Emotions come and emotions go. But the call of God never leaves. Okay, so what I've learned to do is say, all right, well, let's just put it to prayer. Because the same God that's calling you now will be calling you a month from now, or 3 months from now, or 6 months from now. And you know what? What we need to do is to slow your roll a little bit, all right? Because we're talking about the will of God, and that's a big deal. That doesn't just affect you. It affects a lot of other people, okay? So we see Nathan's quick response. But wait a minute. Then we see God's midnight visit, okay? And, you know, hey, here's a good man. I think this Nathan is sincere. David's sincere. But Nathan should have went before the Lord. And so what the Lord did was he visits Nathan at night, verse 4 through 17. We read that. It came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came into Nathan, saying, and then he begins to explain, listen, I've got a plan for this, and I am going to have somebody build a temple, a house for me, but it's not going to be David. And I've got that reserved for his son to do. I'm going to allow his son to take the throne of Israel, and I'm going to allow his son to be the one that builds the temple. God also in the scriptures gives another reason. He tells David, I'm not going to let you do it because you're a bloody man. And you know what? Solomon was allowed to reign in peace. You know why his reign was marked by peace? Because David was the man of war. David was the man of war. And God used David to defeat Israel's enemies. But he said, you know what? I think what I need to do, this is a precious thing. This is a holy thing. This is a sacred thing. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give your son that right instead of you. And so, but so he went to the prophet. Hey, did you hear what I said again? Okay. He went to the prophet and he said, this is how you need to direct David going forward. Okay. So be careful, folks. Giving anyone advice without first praying to God for the wisdom and the words to give that person. I'm going to say this. Too many times we tell people what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. And that's a lot of times, like I said, the difference between a layperson and a man of God. And I'm not mad at you, and I'm not saying that you don't have a walk with God. I'm just saying that there's a reason that Nathan is used in this story, and we should not diminish that biblical principle, all right? And so here's God's midnight visit. He visits the prophet. He tells Nathan he has another plan for the building of the temple. It was God's will for David's son, the next king, to build the temple. Nathan delivers God's message to David. Now here it is, because this was a big buildup. Wait a minute, but David really wants to do this. I mean, and he feels like it's in his heart to do it. Feels like God's put it in his heart to do it. But all of a sudden, here comes a message that's opposite of something that he thinks he wants to do and ought to do. How's he going to respond? How's he going to respond? Then we read from verse number 18 on down, David's blessed reaction. That's what I call this. David's blessed reaction. Let me read some of this. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O Lord God? What is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? For this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Therefore, thou art great, O Lord God. For there is none like thee, neither is there any God besides thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word which thou hast spoken concerning thy servant, concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said. Watch this. And let thy name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is God, is the God over Israel. And let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build the in-house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore, let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the Lord of thy servant be blessed forever. Isn't that a sweet response? Isn't that a blessed response? It was like, Lord, if this is your will, then I'm gonna rejoice in it. You know, we don't see David. You know what we see? We see praising, we don't see pouting. We see praising, we don't see pouting. Listen, I'm going to give you a statement here, and I think this is worth you hearing. Not everything we wish to do in life is within the will of God. Not everything we wish to do in life is within the will of God. Your preacher's one, and I'm going to tell you something. I have sometimes more ideas than I have life to carry out. And what I have to do sometimes is I have to say, what is God's will for me to do? There's a lot of things that need done. But what is God's will for me to do? As I lead the church, there's all kinds of things that we could invest time and money into. And they're all worthy causes. But as I lead the church, I have to get before the Lord and say, Lord, what is your will for this church to do? And so I want you to understand there's going to be time when you want to do something, but it is not within the will of God for you to do it. It's just not part of God's will for your life. Now, what we're going to see here is that even though David is not the one to go do it, God still allows us a lot of times to have a part in something that we want to do, even though we're not the one that's going to do it. So we'll get to that in just a second. We see praise instead of pouting. David's reaction was one of a mature Christian. He did not pout or become bitter. He accepted God's answer and praised God that another would be allowed to do what God would not allow him to do. Number two, rejoicing instead of jealousy. God will at times choose another to do what you wish to do. Okay, stop there. How are we going to handle that? God will at times choose another to do what you wish to do. So what are you going to do about that? You know, that's a fact. Now, you can react. A lot of times what people do is they react towards animosity towards that person. You know, they let jealousy poison their spirit. Next thing you know, David didn't go on a campaign to try to destroy the reputation of Nathan. He didn't use little statements like, well, you know, Nathan, you know, he's right most of the time, but, you know, I'm just not sure in this instance he's really following the Holy Spirit. You know, we're to follow God's man, but he needs to follow the Holy Spirit. You know, isn't it interesting that I'm on track until I disagree with you? And then all of a sudden, you got to go around and spread prayer requests that you just feel like pastors kind of, you know, wandering off track. Why? Because I'm not letting you do what you want to do? Because the message I'm giving you from God isn't what you wanted to hear? Now, come on, folks, listen to me. I'm trying to help some of you, okay? Be tender to the will of God. Trust the word of God. Trust the man of God. And you know what? Don't let a spirit of jealousy poison your spirit. You can decide to help the person succeed in what God has called him to do. You know, I look at David and I look at Absalom. You see, there's a whole study there. And we're going to talk about David and Absalom, so I won't get deep into it. But if you look at David and Absalom, David waited patiently for and handled preciously the throne that God had given him. You know, David had a chance to slay Saul, and he didn't do it. We already studied that. You know, he didn't lift up his hand against God's anointed. When told that the next king would be the one who would build the temple, you know what? He set Solomon up for success by providing him with the resources and encouragement he would need. Now, compare David to Absalom. Absalom coveted and connived to gain what God had not given him. Now, think about that. You know, he sowed the seeds of discord. He tried to sow the seeds of disloyalty amongst the men of Israel. You know why? Because his will was to do something it wasn't God's will to do. Absalom sought to gain through disloyalty and deceit what God had not willed him to have. And folks, listen, let's all just back off, get our egos out of it, and let's seek the will of God, okay? God gives, sometimes God takes, God allows. Sometimes God denies. Whatever the will of God is, every single Christian should be willing to graciously and humbly accept it. So then what does David do? Not only his reaction, his attitude, but what about his actions? Well, if you We won't go over there because of time, but if you go to 1 Chronicles chapter 22, you can look that David lays up provisions for Solomon to use when building this the house of God. Okay, God's not going to let me build this house. But from now that I've got that information until it's time for me to go meet God, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start stockpiling resources. I mean, when he does have the opportunity to do it, I'm going to set him up for success. What I'm going to do is I'm going to begin to take offerings. I'm going to start gathering material. I'm going to start telling the people about it. When he gets ready to go, I'm going to help him be able to go. And so David, even though he's not allowed to do it, this is what's so exciting. See, a lot of times what God has done is put a burden in your heart about something, but it's not a call. And he still allows you to have influence in that area of life. Now, folks, I'm going to share a personal illustration for you. When I was dad's assistant pastor for 11 years. And I honestly didn't think I would be here very long. I'm just going to tell you some things, okay? But when I became assistant pastor, I thought I would come help dad for about 5 years or so, and then I thought I'd go back into the pastorate, and never thought that I would pastor this church. I told Cheryl that from the get-go, I would go help dad for a while. And so I was always open to go into the mission field. And honestly, I was one of these guys that when missionary came in, it's like I wanted to sign up for every place that they showed it, called. I mean, every place was a need, and I prayed many, many times, God, just let me go to the mission field. Lord, is that your will that I go to the mission field? I'll go to the mission field. And I went and visited the mission field several times. And I kind of thought, well, God's either going to have me pastor somewhere in the States here, or maybe he'll let me go to the mission field. And that's kind of what I thought, is I'll help dad for 5 years or so, and then I'll take off and go do that. And I'll just tell you this, that, I was in my middle, late 30s, and I was getting calls, and there was more than one church that wanted me to come candidate during the time, first 5 to 7 years I was here. And I just struggled. I just trying to figure out, God, listen, watch this. All I want is your will. All I want is your will. Just make your will plain to me. And so I told Cheryl, I've been here about 5 years. I told Cheryl, I got to settle some things. Because I can't, if I'm going to be here, I got to be here. And if I'm not supposed to be here, I need to go where I'm supposed to be. So I took some time off. And I got alone by myself. And I mean, it was time of prayer and fasting and me alone before the Lord. And I did spend about a week in that situation. And, folks, watch this. I didn't come out with a clear calling and a clear direction for everything else that God wanted me to do in my life. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, but it's not a beam that shows all the way to the finish line, okay? And God wants us to walk by faith, but he will reveal his will to you. And so some of my wife, she came back, and I came back. She said, well, what do you feel like? And I said, the Lord has only told me one thing. That I can come out of this time of prayer and fasting knowing for sure. And that's this. I'm supposed to be at Blessed Hope Baptist Church until I get dad to the finish line. And then I think God will reveal the next phase of his will for that. Now, folks, listen to me. That was very important that I come to that decision. Because now, when these calls are coming about there's a church here and we want you to come candidate here, I knew what God wanted me to do was I'm going to be at Blessed Hope until dad can no longer pastor. And then I'll reevaluate and I'll seek God's will from that point on. Folks, listen to me. God's going to give it in steps. What he was saying was, Jerry, I'm glad that you're moved to reach the world. But you know what? I'm going to let you help people that are reaching the world. Come on, go back in Missionary Hall and look around. I know church planting is in your heart. But my will isn't for you to do that. My will is for you to help others plant churches out of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. See, just because it's my desire doesn't make it God's will. And sometimes God says, I'm not going to have you do it, but I'm going to allow you to help those that I have called to do it. You know what? That's awesome. That is awesome. And, I think a lot of folks have foregone conclusion in some of the church, at least some of the churches mine. I'm not going to speak for everybody, but when dad got to the point where he needed to step aside because of health reasons, you may think, well, yeah, but that's an automatic. It wasn't automatic in my life. Because all I had was a clear leading of God from to get dad to the finish line. And so then it had to be a time of prayer. You know, again, Lord, what is your will? Am I supposed to be here? Is this where I'm supposed to pastor? Am I supposed to go to the mission field now? All right, can you let me go to the mission field? Can you let me go? Am I supposed to do something else? And I just wanted to share that testimony with you. And I know the leading of God in my life is going to be different than it is in yours. But I will tell you this. You know, you can come up with a lot of really great ideas. You just need to make sure that what you're thinking of, you put before God, and it's really His will. And I mean good things. I mean noble things. I mean things that need to be done and accomplished. But sometimes God has His will for you to do it. And sometimes God just has put that burden in your heart because He wants you to help someone who is doing it or can do it. Okay, so hopefully that will clarify that a little bit. David had his actions were wise. He laid up provisions for Solomon to use when building the house of God. David challenged and encouraged Solomon to build the house of God. I mean, he was encouragement to him. I mean, he challenges him. 1 Chronicles 22:6-16. You can read that great chapter later on, 1 Chronicles 22. David challenged the princes to assist Solomon in building the house of God. So not only did he encourage Solomon, but he went to the second level tier of leadership and said, hey, this is going to be God's will. And this is going to be what God has for him to accomplish. And you support him in it. You get behind him in it. God encouraged the people to sacrifice and assist Solomon. So then he goes to the people and David reacted. Watch this. David reacted with godliness and grace to God's capital N, capital O, no in his life. David then sets his energies and activity to see into it that the next leader succeeded in doing what God had denied David to do. And I imagine most every Christian in here, you know what? As I've told a little bit of my testimony, if you've been saved a length of time, there's been times in your life where, you know what? Maybe you got something that you felt like maybe God wanted you to do, and you put it to prayer, and God discerned that, okay, this is either my will or it's not my will, but here's a way that you can help accomplish that. Just be sensitive to whatever the will of God is. What are the practical lessons that we can learn? All right, I said this before, but let me repeat it. Number one, not everything we wish to do, listen, no matter how noble, is meant for us to do. Life is short. None of us will get to do all we desire to do. James 4:13, go to now, ye that say, chapter 4:13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? It is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. And he said this. He said, you know what? You may get some idea in your heart. You know what? I think this is what I'm going to do to be a success. I'm going to go to this city. And I'm going to buy and sell. And I'm going to be this. And you know, okay. But he said, what we ought to say is this. If the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. A desire might be sincere and noble desire. Doesn't mean that it is God's will for you to be the one to do it. Let me give you another thing here. No generation, I want to remind you of this. No generation stands alone. You know what, folks? There's guys, that men that went before me, and there will be men that come after me. And you know what? There were some things for them to do for their generation. There were some things that I'm to do. And then there's some things that the next generation is going to do. And you know what? Every generation has an obligation to the one who preceded it and the one who follows it. Generation before you, previous generations that they've sacrificed and given, will we waste their work or sacrifice or fail to complete it? Every generation needs to build upon the work of the previous generation. All right, there are men and women in this church that you can learn from. There's men and women who have gone before us. And you know what? It wasn't my God's will for me to build this auditorium. That was dad's generation. Wasn't God's will for me to add on both ends of it. That was dad's generation, although I got to help. But when I became pastor, it was God's will for me to oversee the building of that building, okay, and the starting of ministries that the previous generation didn't have. But you know what? Now that we have the core, now that we've got the, we can now expand and do other things. And you know what? Not everything that I want to do am I going to get to do. Not everything that I dream of is going to get accomplished. Not even is it God's will for me to do it. So you know what I want to do? I want to begin to invest in that next generation. I'll tell you, I'm going to turn 60. And I will tell you, the last 10 to 15 years of my life, and I actually started 5 years ago. You know, people ask me, why did you start the young adult class for a while and have it for a while? I needed to take a couple years to prep the next generation. I mean, these kids are no longer kids. And, you know, I hear Isaac turning 31, and it's just like, okay, all right, wait a minute. Those were the teenagers running around here. These were the elementary. You know what? Folks, listen, life, time doesn't wait for any man. I'm here for a while. And I think, you know what? I think that there's a time in my life where I assist those who are doing. There's a time in my life where I do the doing. And then there's a time in my life when I help lay the foundation and prepare the next for the doing. Doesn't mean I stop doing. I'm going to do some things. But your focus begins to change. Because I'm here to serve my generation by the will of God, not the next generation. I mean, there's going to be somebody else for the next time. And you know, I think one of the things that helps us do is to stay humble. Okay, some people think the world started the day they were born and it's going to end the day they die. And that's the only vision they have. And so what is important for me needs to be the most important. Listen, God was just fine before you got here, and he'll be just fine after you're gone. You know, he was just fine before Jerry Ross showed up, and he'll be just fine after I'm gone. So what I want to do is, in my youth, I wanted to help and check my track record. I want to find those men that were doing the doing and go help them, because in the helping of them, there is learning. You know, and it didn't matter who got, it still doesn't matter to me who gets credit on anything. That's not, you know, there's no limit what a church can accomplish if the people in it don't care who gets the credit. All right. So what do you do in your youth? You look and you reach ahead and you just try to hold up the arms and help. And hey, what's your dreams? Let me put some youthful energy to it. And then you know what? God gives you time to dream and you go and do. And then you get to a phase of life where it really is. More and more of my life's getting to be man alive. Look at the young people and the young adults that are here in this church. And this is the next generation. And we have to prep them and they have to be ready. And I'm going to lay the foundation and set them up for success. Because one of these days, hey, you know what? It's going to be my time to go. And you know what? If the Lord tarries, this thing needs to carry on. That's exciting, man. That is exciting. Remember bringing in Jeffrey Rice, senior at Blessed Hope Christian School. And it's time for his senior appointment. And Jeffrey comes in. Jeffrey was not excited about academics. He did not. He was not excited about academics. And he came into my office and he looked like the guy that was showing up that you're going to put the blindfold on and put against the wall and shoot, you know. And the last thing he wanted to hear from me was, you need to go to Bible college. And I knew that. Yeah, listen, it's good to know the state of your flock. It's good to work with people because you learn them. And you know what? It's not God's will for everybody. And I looked at him and he's just saying like, what are you thinking? What's next? And he's like, oh, pastor, I don't know. Whatever you think. Hey, you can work with that. Whatever you think, pastor, whatever you think. I said, well, I think I want to hear what you think. I said, do you want to go to Bible college? If you think I ought to. I said, I didn't ask you that. Do you want to go to Bible college? No, I really don't. I said, okay. All right. If I get on board with this, you're going to tell me what you are going to do. If you're not going to go to Bible college, what are you going to do if you stay here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? What are you going to do? He looked up, tears ran down his face. He said, I just want to work on my grandpa's bus route. And I want to be the legs that run to the door. when he can't do it anymore one of these days, I just want to make sure that what he invested his life on there, in, there's the next guy to be able to do it. So I'll just serve under him. If you'll let me, I'll just serve under him. And then one of these days, when Brother Bo can't do it anymore, there'll be somebody to take that round. You know what? I said, all right. But you know I'm going to hold you to that. Amen. If I rubber stamp this, if I agree, then I want you to, I'm going to hold you to it. He said, I want you to. Listen, folks, it's not God's will for your life to graduate from high school. It's not everybody's will for God, everybody to go to Bible college, but it's certainly not God's will for your life to graduate from high school and then go out and live like the devil or quit church or start being a pagan. Okay? And so you got to have a plan. And so he told that to me, and I said, all right, okay. All right. Give me a week. We're going to meet a week from now. Let's pray. Give me a week. We met back after a week, and I said, and God said, Jerry, that boy needs to be on Bo Eichelman's bus route. And you know what? Jeff Reiser has just settled in here and just been, folks, listen, I was here late last night. As I'm here late last night, truck pulls in. And you know who it is? Every Saturday night, 8, 9 o'clock, he comes in. And you know what he does? He comes in and he checks every Sunday school route. He's our children's ministry director as well as runs a bus route. He goes and checks every Sunday school class, make sure they're set up, make sure that they're clean. He takes the envelopes to every place. He makes sure everything's ready for Sunday morning, everything's ready to go. I'm usually not here that late on Saturday when he's doing it, but I know he does it. And he's been faithful. He's been on that bus ride. He's on it again this morning, standing up there singing the same songs that he sang when Brother Bo was driving the bus. Just carrying on the work of God. Now listen, it's not the will of God for everybody to be sent out of this place. And I'm glad. We need God to leave people in our church that's going to carry on the work here. And, you know, I kid sometimes and say when I was a youth pastor, I wanted God to call all my young people into full-time service. When I became a pastor, I was like, God, please leave me some of them. We need some here, you know. So I get that. And you know what? It's not for you to worry about what God's using someone else to do or not do. It's just up to you to find out what God wants you to do and do it. Do it, but make your life count for God. Make it count for the Lord, you know. And David's given us a great example of this. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the time. And thank you for the life of David. Lord, thank you for the gracious and godly way he was able to handle the word no. And Lord, thank you as Lord, we look back in the lives of each and every one of us, Lord, those times where maybe we had a desire, but it wasn't your will. And thank you for the interesting ways that you still let us have a part in helping those who you've called to do it. So, Lord, we pray, dear God, I don't know how long you'll tarry. I keep looking around thinking, surely the Lord's coming, and you know my prayer. Come, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. It may be this year, and it may be 10 years, it may be 100 years. I don't know. But Lord, I pray that when you come, we'll be found faithful. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.